So I was putting together this Bible study this afternoon. I was thinking, oh, I wonder who it's for. I know it's for someone. There were times where I couldn't get the thoughts down on paper as fast as God gave them to me. I've been in a church for almost 41 years now, and situations don't bother me like they did when I first came into the church. I recognize there are going to be situations and obstacles, and I've seen God remove the obstacles, take care of situations over and over again. But what bothers me is when people walk away, because I feel so frustrated when people change their mind about living for God, when they have touched the throne of God, when God has taken up residency in them, and then they reject God, and that bothers me. It's like Paul said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you truth?" Well, truth has to go forward. Amen. There's going to be some opposition against this new Supreme Court justice, because he has declared, "I'm only going to rule based on what the Constitution says. I'm not going to interpret the Constitution. I'm going to judge based on what the Constitution says." And whenever somebody will preach based on what the Word of God says rather than an interpretation of the Word, there's going to be some opposition there. I can handle the opposition. I'm afraid for souls that are lost because there's somebody who has said, like the devil did God say? I mean, it's really necessary. Paul said this in Galatians 1. "Have you gone to another gospel, which is not another gospel at all? Who's bewitched you to add on or take away?" So I guess that's nothing to do with what I'm going to preach tonight, but it's nice that you get that extra. Acts, the 16th chapter. Could we keep the screen down, Brother Savadik? Acts 16 and 16. "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shows unto us the way of salvation.'" Mocking, if you will. Ever run up against the mockers? "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hopes of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers." You know, when our religion doesn't line up with somebody else's religion or what they're building on, look out. "And brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city.'" We need more troublemakers. "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. We're so grateful that you allowed a man to pen these words as you inspired them. An account that happened that can be of great advantage to us today. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're all confronted from time to time with situations in our life, especially because of our belief. Here, they were just doing what they know God would be pleased with, and all of a sudden, they find themselves in prison. What's that all about? You know, I'm just doing what's right, and I find myself in a bad place. Now, if you or I were put in that situation, how would we react? How would we respond? Would it be, hey, let's sing, oh, happy days, oh, happy days? No, we probably not only wouldn't sing oh happy days, but we'd be a little worried about what was going to happen tomorrow. Is my ministry over now? Is this all there is, God? Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. I know I'm here, but I don't understand why I'm here. And I'm a little worried because I don't know what the future will bring. And how many times have we gotten to those crossroads where we don't understand why this is happening and even what our future is? So there's a few other scriptures I want to start off with. Isaiah 26. I want to get a better understanding of what was the mindset of Paul and Silas. I want to be there. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." I guess if our mind is stayed on him, if I trust him, there will be perfect peace even when we come to the crossroads of adversity and bad reports. John 14, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. Brother Mundy, this is absolutely one of my favorite scriptures. John 14 and 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. I wonder if they recorded that in their mind so later on that they got the peace that passes understanding even when they didn't understand. Right. And that's the problem. God sees the end from the beginning, but we only see a little frame of life. We see our dilemma right now. And it's hard to keep our mind stayed on Christ so we can have that kind of peace. If you turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5 and 7, simple. "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Now, if you don't believe that God cares for you, you're not going to cast your cares upon him. You're not going to ask God to do something that you don't think he'll do for you. And then Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4, starting in verse number 4. Very familiar scripture. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer," and the word prayer there really should have been interpreted worship. "In everything, by worship," singing in jail, "and supplication supplication, which is a petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts or feelings and minds or thoughts through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned on Wednesday night, amen, and Sunday morning, amen, and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace. Well, he's going to be with you. Be careful for nothing. That word careful in the Greek means not to be anxious, not to worry. Don't you just love to worry about the little things in life? I mean, it's a pastime in this world. There's such a joy and a calm when you're worried about everything. Everybody wants to be around you when you're worrying. There's such wonderful feelings of lowering your blood pressure and better sleep and gives you peace and oh the joy that comes with worrying. No, worrying just does the opposite. It robs us of sleep. It impairs our health. It takes away our peace and our joy, our concentration, our ability to do anything for God at all. It said that worrying is interest paid on a debt that you don't owe. Who wants to get a letter from the bank saying, hey, here's the interest? Well, I never took a loan. Yeah, but you still owe it. I can understand why this world worries and laments over every little thing, but why would we who are filled with the Spirit of God be so tenuous, so worried about every little thing that happens in our life? It really says, I doubt God is going to take care of me. Please let me help some worry warts tonight. Have you ever wondered where that phrase came from, worry wart? I looked it up today. Some think that worrying causes warts, and nobody is really sure if that happens, so I'm not going to worry about it. Worry is a mental exercise of growing distressed over something that we anticipate that won't happen. Worry is a type of fear of the unknown that robs us of our trust with God and our lack of faith in the ability to believe that God will handle every difficult situation in our life. So when we display worry in our life, what we're saying is, oh, I don't think I trust you, God. And there's doubt involved, and we can't receive from God when we have doubt and we have worry. Worrying about family, worrying about our health, worrying about our job, worrying about conflict with people like that ever happens. Folks, I should have more warts on my body. Doctors say worrying causes feelings of fear, obsessive thoughts, sleeplessness, muscle tension, physical weakness, heart palpitations, and poor concentration. We become prone to depression and poor moods, poor self-image, and lack of motivation when we're worried about what's the use, you know? Worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it'll never get you anywhere. You know, isn't it amazing that our children don't worry about much in life? I mean, they're so happy all of the time. You know, they're not concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're just anticipating more fun, because they trust that mom and dad will watch out for them. They trust that the supply of what they need will be taken care of, because they have no reason to doubt, because mom and dad have always taken care of them in the past, and so far they've never failed them. Oh, if only us old folks had that kind of security. Jesus knew we would spend a lot of time and energy worrying, so he addressed it so many times in the Bible, because it's an inherent problem within every human being that we worry about things that we don't know about. Amen. There are people who worry about scriptures. Now, how is God going to do it? Who cares? He said he was going to do it. Amen. Now, Dad, are you sure you're going to pay the mortgage this month? Are you sure there's going to be chocolate milk next week? No, it doesn't matter. It's going to show up. And if we have the faith to believe and won't doubt, amen. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Hey, I'm not worried. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. My job is to ask God in worship, and his job is to comply and help us. He's got a whole band of ministering angels that can help us out. Would you turn to another favorite scripture, Matthew, the 6th chapter? I don't have a toaster tonight. Amen. Glory to God. But those salt shakers really work nice. Yeah. I'm sure my blood pressure has gone up since I bought that. Matthew 6 and verse 25 says, therefore, this is Jesus. It's in red, folks. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I mean, we just get so worked up about the things that God says, I'm going to take care of them, you know? And then if you'll turn to Luke, the 12th chapter, Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're living so far below our privilege. God wants to give us those things. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So Jesus tells us not to worry about the basics of life. Amen. Amen. Lost a job. Hallelujah. Oh, happy days. Amen. Could we get a chorus, you know? In our trouble, doctor says, Oh, happy days. Because I know there's a God that already knows what the situation is, what the purpose is. Let him worry for us, not us. Matthew 6 and 34 said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, why worry about tomorrow? You're in today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. It's not so much about what we worry about as it is why are we worrying. If our mind is stayed on Christ, I find that the reason some of us worry is we aren't sure about our relationship with God. Now, if we have a close relationship with God, if we're talking, if we're reading his letters, if we're feeling his presence, you know what? I'm not so apt to worry. And I think maybe that's exactly what was happening in jail. I'm feeling the presence of God. I know this situation is not good, but I'm feeling the presence of God. So why don't we respond to the presence of God? If we aren't sure he loves us or has our back, you know, maybe because we haven't felt him for a while, and then will God be there for us when we really need him? Or when people are involved in things that they know are wrong, they feel God will abandon them. Well, I'm just going to deviate a little bit here. I know what the pastor says, and I've read those scriptures. I'm not so sure it really applies to my life. And then a situation comes in your life, and you're saying, whoa, I'm a little worried. Like Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, woe is me, I am undone. And now, is God going to be there? You know, when the king dies and you're not worried about the next ruler and what's going to happen, you know, glory to God. In our scripture text in Philippians 4:4-6, the word careful or worry is just two scriptures from rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Two scriptures, one's talking about worry, the other one's talking about worship or rejoicing in God. And I know I put a lot of emphasis on worship, but I recognize that it is the paramount importance to each and every one of us to have that individual touch from God in worship and relationship that takes care of so many other aspects of our life. The temptations go away, the feeling of being ostracized by God, or is God going to be there for me, when you know, hey, I've been worshiping you, I feel your presence, you see. But can we see here that God gives us the perfect solution for all of the anxieties and all of the worries that we have? But in everything, by worship and supplication or petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Okay, so first we worship, then we pray and ask God for the things. Oh, thank you, God. The result of our worship and prayers with thanksgiving is, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your feelings, and your minds, or your thoughts on Christ. Amen. Hey, I don't know what's going on here, but I sure trust him. Amen. I know I'm worried. I've had situations. But I really believe it's an insult to God. If I said, I'm going to be there for you, and then you said, I don't know. I really don't know. I know what you're saying, but I don't really know if you're going to be there for me. That would offend me, folks. Our greatest hindrance in serving God is our feelings and our thoughts. if we don't have the right feelings, if we don't have the right thoughts towards God, well, if we can't control our emotions, if we can't control our feelings, and if our thoughts aren't harnessed, we will be in no position in order to benefit the kingdom of God at all. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. If we don't believe he really cares for us, we just won't cast our cares. We won't even tell him about what's going on. Now, God reads our mind. He knows what our needs are. But he's saying, hey, if you really think I'm going to take care of it, you have to ask me to take care of it. Amen. 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 It's like the unspoken request. Come on. It's ridiculous. God says you have not because you ask not. Open your mouth, you see. Glory to God. Proverbs 12 and 25 explains it this way. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word maketh it glad. So when we're constantly enveloped in worrying about what's going to happen, you know, see, men are hunters and women are nesters. And sometimes situations that come up in my life, I don't share it with my wife because she's not geared in order to handle those things. It's not that she's a lesser person in any manner or form, but you know what? I am in a position where I can handle these things and not worry about them like she can. Well, the church is the female part, if you will, and we're always asking God, are you going to take care of me? Is there going to be enough? You know, God say, hey, don't worry about it. I got this thing for you. I got it. This, hey, it's not your battle. It's my battle. Don't be wringing your hands and wondering, is it going to work out? No, this is my church. Amen. You're my sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. You can get so depressed because you look at your future as so bad. Oh, no. So what is the antidote for warding off worry? Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, happy days. I mean, and all of the prisoners heard them. Now, what could be a greater witness than when you're going through it and you're saying, oh, happy days. My God is going to take care of this thing for me. Yeah. He's done this before. You know, I've got some people in the church, and here's what's happened, you know. Think on these things, you see. Philippians 4 and 8 tells us that we need to have a mindset whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of a good report. Think on these things. We got to stop the stinking thinking and turn it to something sweet. With all of the negativity of today's society, we need to think of the positive things. And whenever you get to the place where you're worried about it, then what you need to do is reel up the past and say, oh, look what God did for me here, and look what God did for me there. Right. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Fill up on encouraging words first thing in the morning. Amen. You know? Talk to the only one who can direct your steps for the day. Amen. Amen. And chances are, if something is going to happen in your life that may be negative, he'll already circumvent it with something out of his book. Yes. He does that. Amen. Amen. I've said this before. I remember somebody was suing me when I had a business, and they took me to court, and I couldn't afford an attorney, so I decided I was just going to go. It was on a Thursday morning. Wednesday, I came to the altar. I said, God, you know all about this situation. I don't know what to do. I know I'm in the right. They're in the wrong. This is unjust. Just wanted to make, did you hear? It's unjust, God. They're wrong. Did I mention that? And God spoke to me so clearly. He said, take your Bible. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have a chance to witness in a courtroom, you know. I was going to be my own defense attorney so I could cross-examine the whole deal. And so there were like two lawyers for the other side. And I came early, and the clerk said, well, the case won't be for another 45 minutes. You can have a seat over there. I said, all right. I sat down, opened my Bible, and the verse that I read, the first verse that I read is, I'm going to defend you for your sake and for mine.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, happy days. So here I am, knowing nothing about law. And the judge says, well, you can cross-examine him. And I said, now on the check that I sent, which you agreed to, and it said final payment on it, did you endorse that check and cash it? Yes, but that was, the judge said, well, case dismissed. You know. It could have cost me a lot of money to defend me, but our God did it pro bono.
Amen.
He loves the underdog.
Amen.
Folks, he really does. Amen. Always knows our thoughts, always knows our fears, and he can bring calm and peace in our mind. We need to write down passages of scripture that speak to the issues that we worry about and are fearful. Whenever you have a situation in your life, what you need to do, if you don't already know how to go to concordance or find in your Bible program scriptures concerning that which you're worried about, write them down. Read them. Not just once. Maybe even memorize them. Keep them with you. Put them under your pillow, perhaps. Surround yourself with people of faith who can lift you up.
Amen.
That's why we come to church. We've got problems, we come to church, and God can use people within the church
Amen.
To say, hey, you know what? I'm right there for you.
Amen.
I've been praying for you.
Amen.
You know? That feels good. Your advice should not be coming from people that don't know God like we do. Don't ask your neighbors. Don't ask your family. Don't ask your co-workers, what do you think we should do in there? You're not going to get the right advice from somebody who doesn't know God.
Amen.
Set boundaries, realizing we will not please everyone at all times.
Amen.
Everyone's problems cannot become your problem, or we're going to put God out of business. You know? You know, there are certain people who have so many problems, they just lay them out on the table and they say, you take some and you take some because I'm going to go enjoy my life. You know, while we're hung with their worries and I have an obligation because they're a brother or sister in the Lord. No, no, that's not the way it works. We all need to grow up and put big clothes on. Some people just won't take responsibility for their lives and expect you to handle their problems. We need to learn to say no. It's not anti-Christian. There are some things that you simply say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. But I'm not going to handle your problem. Because if I handle your problem today, then a week from now, you know, teach them how to fish rather than give them a fish. Because every day you're going to need another fish. I'm so mean. Because God wants them to progress. Also, give yourself permission to relax and enjoy the life that God has given us. Some people, they're just so afraid that, God's going to strike them dead because they had a good time, you know? We need... When I first came into the church, I had a pastor who just did not believe in vacations, you know? I've heard him say, bless God, you want a vacation? I can put a paintbrush in your hand, and we can paint the basement of the church, you know? And so as I was on vacation, I'm thinking, I should be here. This is bad. God bless you. He gave you a family. You need to take the time. Take the time off, but don't take the time away from God. Amen. Enjoy your relationship with your family and your relationship with God and not feel guilty about it. Glory to God. The problem is some people take vacation and I never see them again. We're the temple of God. Right? And we should also treat our bodies accordingly. By eating properly. Getting sleep. Getting exercise. It's not a dirty word. Because it'll make all the difference in the world. I met my neighbor yesterday. We were walking by his house and my wife said, so are you retired now, or are you about to retire? He said, man, I'm only 45. Wow. Oh. Folks, I think it's just as important. And you're going to worry if you're not getting the proper rest and the proper food and the proper exercise. You know, if that hasn't been a part of your agenda, you ought to start, because it's just like the journey, prayer, scripture, and fasting. Maybe we ought to address some of the things that could happen to our bodies because they are temples. Amen, amen. All right, just a couple more scriptures. Psalms 55. I'm going to buy some more appliances for next week's sermon. Psalms 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then Proverbs 16. And verse number 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, God can set up barriers in your mind to prevent certain thoughts from coming into your mind. And the more you corral those thoughts and have your mind stayed on God, the less you have these thoughts that fly through your mind, and then you feel guilty about them, and then you worry, God, are you all right with me now? Because we all get those things. It's not evil that we have the thoughts. It's that we allow them to keep coming back all of the time. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not going to worry about this message anymore. Would you stand with me, please? I perceive there are warts falling off all over this building. Glory to God. Amen. I think perhaps all of the media has one design to worry people everywhere in the world. You know, but there's some good news. Amen. 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 Glory to God. He's coming back for us. Amen. And once he does, no more worries, no more threats. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The altar's open. Would you come, please?